You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I'm going on a date.
I am, yes, I am. I am going.
Can we just be super stoked for a second that John has a date and we can like.
I remember my first date.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm gonna go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's gonna be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about.
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson. And we are reporting to you in a very dire situation and times right now. The Packers just got shut out at home for the first time since 2006. None of us are happy about it, but we're going to break it down for you. And we're going to make sense of all the mumble jumble. And we're going to figure this thing out together, guys. This is why we are here doing what we do, to bring togetherness to the Packer Nation community and find something to grab onto and move forward. Joining me tonight, Brian Fonfara, Dusty Easley, and Jordan Peck. Brian Fonfara, how you doing, buddy?
What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing pretty good. The cough that I mentioned that I had last week. And
yeah, we hated that.
I probably spent like half an hour editing last week just editing out my own coughs and throat clears like that one I just had right now. So it got much worse. Turns out it's bronchitis, but I'm on like a whole bunch of steroids and stuff now. So I'm feeling pretty good at the moment.
Brian, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for no bronchitis, man.
Oh my! If that is not my favorite YouTube video of all time, I don't know what is. I said, "Sweet low Jesus,
a lot of good ones."
I said, "Sweet low Jesus, it's a fire." I didn't grab my shoes. Anyways, moving on. I was literally about to do the whole YouTube video, but I'm like,
thank you for stopping when you did.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I'm learning more self-control as life goes on and realizing that sometimes my rants aren't as good as what I think they're going to be. So I'm really trying
John,
to tame it down.
When I post this episode to the website, maybe I can put a link to that YouTube video in the description so people can enjoy it.
If you could, I would really, really, really appreciate that.
Hey, I don't know, but a lot of people might get a little bit too wise and switch over to YouTube and then not come back to the show. So maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a fine line we're walking here.
Yeah.
But you know what else is a very fine line? Is your trivia record this season? You've had some
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've gotten them all right.
You've had some successes, you've had some failures.
Don't ever call me a failure.
Never again. But
never again.
I'm kind of setting you up for this question, Brian, because I know that you know the right answer. So,
that's a guarantee that I'm going to get it wrong.
Probably. I think everyone's going to get it wrong, but this is why I do this. So,
just to make us feel really bad.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So since the year 2000,
okay, I have been alive that long.
How many teams have had three or fewer head coaches?
Since the year 2000, three or fewer head coaches.
How many teams?
How many teams? I would guess just the two.
Two teams.
Two teams.
All right, Brian. It's been noted. It's nice to have you tonight, and we look forward
Thank
to all of your input. Dusty Easley.
John Jamesman.
Jamesman. There we Jamesman. Go.
Is that right? Did I get it? I nailed it.
You have been working on that probably this whole week.
No, I just thought of it, John. Just can't. It was inspiration is what it was, brother.
That's
that's what you bring every week, Dusty. Inspiration. Mm-hmm. I mean, just we're probably gonna talk about it later in the show, but you kind of worked on me in the pre-op this week, and kind of gave me a little bit added heart this week. So I really appreciate that, Dusty. And mm-hmm. And how is your week going, by the way?
Oh, I mean, it's going all right. You know, a little tired, but that's to be expected. I really got the new child will be joining us in a little over a month now, so that's
woo,
hit me a bit.
Hey, but,
and Dusty said yeah, that man. I get to name this child, and I'm so excited to name his child that's for him.
Actually, Brian, the opposite of what I said. The exact opposite somehow of what I
that's
said.
That's not the that's not the way I heard it.
Okay, that's fine. You know what? We're going to take it into account. It's not going to be Chalupa Batman. So, you know what? We'll see. So that one's off the table because it's already been taken.
I don't know what I've ever done to you, Dusty, to make you not trust me and my ability to name your child.
I don't have time. I don't have time to get out of this.
No.
Yeah. Other than that, dude, I'm doing good. You know, that loss, like you said, John, that loss stinks. 23-0 at home. But... listen, man, it's cold outside. It's getting colder. You know, it's
yes.
My most wonderful time of the year. I'm very excited.
Yeah, if I know one thing about you, Dusty, it's that you do not sleep after the Packers lose.
No.
You rest easy after a Packers win, but if the Packers lose, I mean, you are up for days breaking down the film and all that goodness. So, I mean, just we're sending out all of our best sleep aids to you. I can send you a little, like, pre-recorded 2-hour-long just chit-chat of me talking to you.
Do that, or John, just even better, send yourself in a sleeping bag. Just do that.
Ooh, baby. Just got heated.
FedEx ground all day. I'll be there.
Gotta open a window.
I'll be there by Christmas. I'll be there by Christmas. Dusty, trivia question for you.
Yes,
since the year 2000, how many teams have had three or fewer head coaches.
what Brian say? Two?
He said two. He said dose.
You know what? I'm gonna go. I'm not gonna price his right, you Brian, but I think I'm gonna go three.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How do we handle it if it ends up being 2.5?
Jordan, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Off the show because that's dumb.
I'm doing great, John.
I'm working on cutting out the dead air, and I thought that was my best way to do it. You know, just
it's nice to finally have airtime.
Yeah, great. you needed it more than anyone. We missed you last week, bud.
I missed you guys.
What happened?
And a couple weeks survived. Before.
What happened?
What happened?
Yeah,
life's just busy right now, John. Very busy. You know how it goes.
I do.
We're not buying it.
Had a lot of FIFA to play on Xbox, so just had to take the week off.
See, you should have let off with that. Now we understand.
Yep.
Yeah, we completely understand. And
Premier League is in full swing, and Everton are doing terribly, so you have to live in this fantasy world of FIFA. That makes a lot of sense.
We're out of the relegation zone, and my Columbus Crew are in the Eastern Conference Finals, so not all is bad.
That kicks up.
Pretty soon they'll be out of Columbus.
Don't. Hashtag save the crew.
Hashtag
that's right.
Crew.
I'm with you.
And Jordan just burned his final thought of the evening, so I'll just skip it after. As soon as Dusty finishes his, I'm jumping right into mine. But Jordan,
beautiful.
The trivia question tonight: since the year 2000, how many teams have had three or fewer coaches, or three or coaches?
Guys, you guys both shorted it. I know of at least four. I can't think of the fifth. So I'm going to say four.
Oh, this is dirty. Two, three. Well, we all know the Browns, obviously, have only had the two.
All right.
Can I put forth my guess here, John? I might be wrong, but I think I'm right. Obviously, Packers and Patriots. You guys were thinking that, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. I had the Steelers as well.
Steelers with Cowher and Tomlin.
Yeah.
And the other guy that I thought had been there for a long time, and the guy before him was there for a while time, was the Giants with Coughlin and Jim Fossil. Are the Giants the fourth team?
Oh, maybe.
Guys, I hate to break it to you like this, but every single one of you is wrong. it really did actually bring me great joy in saying that. But the correct answer is...
I hate you, John.
The correct answer is nine teams.
Nine
teams.
Name them.
Nine times.
I don't remember him being sick nine times.
I don't have the list.
Sick Brian, he was skipping his school.
Well, we need to know the list.
I don't have I don't have the list.
But yeah, dude, are you kidding me? You're gonna drop a number like that and not give us the list?
Call fraud. List.
It's open for you guys.
Turns out 30 teams.
That's 30 teams.
We don't know. You can't validate any of our guesses.
But I'm just basically getting this off of Packers trivia site, so and I can't give you guys the site because then you'll start getting all my trivias.
Oh, John, my goodness.
John, that site was from 2001. Like, everything. You can't use that.
All right, it is done. It was
Packers-trivia.us.
You can't even count the Texans course. Because they weren't even a team yet? Is that how old this list is?
It's so possible. I mean, like I said, I did not... I mean, I'm not that person that questions the credibility of these websites, and maybe that's a fault on my end.
It is.
It really absolutely is. Like, I mean, there's this one website called 24/7 Sports, and I believe every single word they say. And
all right, so who else could it be? Could it be the Seahawks? Because they had Holmgren for a while, and they've had Pete Carroll for a while.
They haven't been there that long, I don't think. Right? I guess it could be.
It could be.
Holmgren was there in 2003. Who was there in between?
They went straight. Didn't they go straight?
Mora? It was Mora, wasn't it?
Oh, they went to Mora.
Yeah.
To Mora.
Mora was, wasn't it? Because Mora went from Atlanta to Seattle, right?
Yeah, and then back to college. All right, so not guys, Seattle.
Guys, it actually is Seattle.
Hey!
Holmgren got there in 99.
Snap.
Jim Mora was there for 1 year, and it's been Pete Carroll ever since. Jeez. So Seahawks would be on the list.
All right. Who else could it be? It wouldn't be Atlanta. It wouldn't be...
The Giants?
Indianapolis?
Yeah,
Dungy. Dungy was there a while.
Dungy was there a long time, and then they went to Caldwell.
Dungy, Caldwell.
And then Pagano's been there a while, Pagano. Too. Let me check it.
So I would bet that's one of them.
Riveting stuff.
I like this.
This is why we get paid the big bucks, guys.
Oh, goodness, we're never going to get to Packers content, but maybe that's what our listeners want this week. we just got shut out at Lambeau.
We just missed out. Jim Mora. Playoffs. Was there until 2001.
Okay, so
Jordan, did you check the Giants?
I did not check the Giants.
Not Tampa Bay.
What about the guys? What about guys? What about the Jets? Guys, what about the Jets?
They had Herm Edwards for a long time.
They had Rex for a while.
Not the Chiefs.
There's no way.
Is that Broncos?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you're right.
Broncos. Could it be them?
Shanahan?
No, because it was like Shanahan. Friggin' what's his face?
Oh, they went to McDaniel.
McDaniel was there.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, yeah. That's right. It wouldn't be Buffalo, no. Tennessee. They had Jeff Fisher for a long time.
Oh, that's a good one. What about the Rams?
Could be the Rams because they also had Jeff Fisher for a long time.
Guys, those
two franchises really hate each other.
I also have to throw in a quick little disclaimer. A quick disclaimer on this question.
Boy.
So. I just kind of looked at what year this article was published.
It was 2005. It was absolutely 2005.
And it was
drum roll.
Published on September 6, 2013.
Oh. Boom! So a lot of our guests. Oh my goodness!
Not
John.
Terrible though.
I'm correct.
Not terrible correct. Though.
I win.
We need to move on.
So moving on.
John, I hate you so much.
Because sometimes I'm really, really bad at what I do. I am just done talking for a little bit, and Dusty is taking over. Dusty,
oh my goodness.
The floor is yours. Enjoy the spotlight, please.
I'm going to bask in it. I'm also trying to be short, because that took way longer than I probably should have.
All right, guys, real quick, we were way off on the Rams. They've had Mike Martz, yep. Joe Vitt, Scott Linehan, Jim Haslett, Steve Spagnuolo, Jeff Fisher, John Fossil, and now Sean McVay.
You said Steve Spagnuolo like John them. Says my last name. Just
how do you say his name?
Steve Spagnuolo.
Oh, guys, quick little disclaimer, too. There is a list, actually.
Moving on. Coin toss. Dusty, right. It's your turn.
Hey, guys.
Please start talking.
Here we are for our coin toss. If you've not been here before, we have three topics. We flip a coin, and then everyone's got to argue whatever side of the coin they get. So I'm stepping out for this one. So I'm going to be hosting. So this first one, we're going to have Brian going against John. And guys, our first question. So we talked about a bunch. I don't want to rehash too much because we'll get into it a bit. But, you know, Packers got shut out at home. That should not happen. Hundley looked terrible. I'm a Hundley guy, but Hundley looked terrible. So from this point forward, should the Packers have Hundley as their starter for the rest of the season, or should they do something else? Brian, I'm going to flip the coin. If it's heads, you're going to say they should keep him as their starter. If it's tails, they should look elsewhere.
Okay.
And it's heads. Brian, Hundley is your guy going forward.
All right. I just want to start by saying to all of the people out there calling for Joe Callahan to start, I don't mean to go all doctor on you, but if Brett Hundley is a headache, which right now he is, switching to Joe Callahan will be like having your head chopped off. Like, Callahan is bad, guys. Like, when you say how much worse could it get, it could get a whole lot worse. Look at what happened in Buffalo when they went to Peterman this week, and he threw 5 picks in the first half. That's a whole new level of bad that Hundley hasn't even touched. So, yes, things could get a whole lot worse. Look, this is just the way that Green Bay does things. Like, love it or leave it, Hundley's the guy. He's been here 3 years. He's earned this opportunity, and I kind of think they see it as a win-win. It's either going to get us a much better draft pick, or Hundley turns things around, starts to wake up and smell the roses, and gets us into playoff contention. So that really is a win-win, because if he's able to do that, he might be able to salvage a little bit of the trade value that he's been spending the last month absolutely destroying. So, no, for me at this point, it doesn't really make sense. Callahan is terrible. I am pro Colin Kaepernick. Like, say whatever you want to say. I'd be fine bringing him in, but I don't really have faith that this coaching staff can tailor an offense to fit him. Like, they can't even tailor an offense to fit a guy who's been here 3 years. So, no, I don't think it makes any sense to make a change at this point.
All right, John, Packers should go elsewhere, whether that's in-house or outside.
I really do think that the Packers should move on from Brett Hundley. It was an experiment, I should say, that has not paid off at all. We saw Brett Hundley have one good quarter of football, and that was against the Bears, and that was against a very bad Bears team, which garnered a win. So we saw one good quarter of football from Brett Hundley that equated a win against a very, very bad team. You had a pretty solid defense come in Baltimore, but again, you're playing in front of your home crowd. You have so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball, and we cannot score a point. And yet alone, just the pocket presence that he has shown, he hasn't shown any. And he does not throw the ball away, and when he does, it's an intentional grounding. I mean, this guy it does not seem like he gets the quarterback position at all. And I know that Brian kind of mentioned trade value, and yeah, I think that's completely out the window. So what we're now talking about is, in my mind, it is equating to the highest draft pick possible. I think that Hundley is still a better quarterback than Joe Callahan, but at the same time, Callahan's probably going to lose more games than Brett Hundley. I mean, I don't see any one of these guys going out there and winning a whole lot of games, but Hundley gives us the better option to win a game because he has more experience with this team. So if I'm truly looking at an option to, like, tank for this season and get a high draft pick, I'm bringing in Joe Callahan just based on that fact, and you can disguise it because this Packers front office loves to disguise everything, and that's how they disguise it, is that Brett Hundley is not playing well, and they're making a change of quarterback, and Callahan comes in, and he sucks, but we wind up in the top 10 this year and for the NFL draft, and we grab some solid talent. End of story.
So I was actually – so beginning of the argument, I was actually getting ready to go with John, and then John advocated that a 5-5 team tank, like on purpose, to put in like a terrible quarterback, and I
knew that would give me the point.
I can't get behind it, John. I'm gonna have to give it to Brian. You were good up until that point. Up until you're advocating tanking for a team that's currently 500, I was with you.
I don't see the talent right now on this team that could garner us making a run at the playoffs. I really don't. But that's my opinion, and I love when you guys
coaching in front office will never admit to that, though. Never.
But I mean, that's John's point, though. That's John's point. Like, then you can tell him it's, you know, we're making a switch. Talent's still there. Like, I get if that's the thing. If they want to tank, that's fine. That's the way to do it. I don't think that's the way to go with a team that
you also have to consider that Brett Hundley, since he doesn't have trade value, is likely going to be our backup quarterback again next year. So you can't really go just destroying his confidence by benching him for Joe Callahan, because he has to believe in himself enough to be a backup quarterback next year.
That's true. All right, guys, moving on to the next one. Good job. Good arguments. I love the passion. That was great. Next one. Jordan going up against Brian. This is, okay, so we've ragged on Capers in the past year many times. So many times. We ragged on him so much, we actually had to have a special mini episode where a guy came in to defend him, which was fun. So with that in mind, you know, Packers gave up 23 at home, which stinks, but they also had 5 turnovers on offense. Like, overall, the defense, you know, looked pretty good. So Jordan and Brian, this question is, was the showing of this defense, is this defense good? Are they maybe turning a corner? Are they showing true talent? Or are they just playing a bad Ravens offense? So, Jordan, I'm going to flip this coin. If it's heads, the defense is good. If it's tails, they just played a bad Ravens team. It's tails, Jordan. They just played a bad Ravens team.
This was the 32nd ranked passing offense coming into the game. We were missing some guys from our secondary. I believe three of our starters from week one were out for this week. So going into the game, there wasn't a whole lot of confidence. Even in that unit, you thought Flacco could you know, do some damage to them. But it's the same thing. It's always just middle of the field crap that the Ravens were able to get this week. So. I don't think this defense is good. I think that the Ravens were able to exploit the things even better quarterbacks can exploit in certain weeks. So while the Packers did hold them in a lot of positions, like I think through the first 4 turnovers, which is a weird thing to have to say, through the first 4 turnovers, I think we held them to 6 points. But again, it goes back to the fact that we were down 6-0. You know, Hundley's playing horrible. Or down one possession, and the defense comes out and lets them walk right down the field. Now, albeit a fantastic touchdown catch that really Demaryius Randle couldn't have done anything about. Yes. Yeah, so you can't really take that away from him. That was a great throw by Flacco. Fantastic catch. Great coverage from Randle. But at the same point, they had already gotten down to about the red zone in that position, and pretty easily, too.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when it just felt like, you know, you're looking for a stop, and they're just not going to get it. Maybe 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. It's just like they're going to go for it, and they're going to get it. So it's the same stuff with this defense. You can't count on them to make a big play in a big moment, and this week was the same thing. So even though they performed better than they have in previous weeks, nothing about this game says, like, oh, I'm very excited to see them, you know, go up against against Roethlisberger and the Steelers, because I'm not. This is not a good defense. The Ravens are a bad offense, and they still beat us by 3 possessions.
Yep. Brian, defense was good.
I am in no way going to advocate that this defense has magically turned a corner just from putting up a good defensive performance against a bad offense. But overall, you can't ask a Packers defense to do any more than they did this Sunday. You know, with no Aaron Rodgers to keep the ball and keep the defense off the field, they had no Morgan Burnett to organize the defense. They had no Kevin King, who's been their best cornerback this year. There was a lot going against them, and we've seen the Packers turn offenses this bad into Super Bowl champion caliber offenses before. But man, just a lot of 3-and-outs. They were doing pretty well to get off the field on 3rd down, at least compared to what they've done this year. They did have to defend in bad field position after a few of those interceptions, and they held up. You know, considering the offense gave the ball away 5 times, and they only allowed 23 points, you can't ask any more of a defense than that. And, you know, again, I'm the first one to go up against Dom Capers. I'm not a fan of them at all, but you can't ask any more of them, whether it's the 32nd ranked defense or the first ranked defense. Like, that's good enough considering the circumstances. Now, the offense that, you know, put up 17 points against the Saints and against the Lions, they looked like they were trending in the right direction, putting up 23 last week against a really good Bears defense. They just fell off. You can't ask any more of a defense that had to spend a lot of time on the field yesterday and a lot of possessions on the field yesterday. And they came through. I don't think you can ask any more.
well argued on both sides. It's a tough one. I'm actually going to have to give it to Jordan. Basically, because Jordan said when they go line four, fourth and short, you know they're going to get it. I broke out into cold sweats. It's a good argument. It elicited a physical reaction from me.
I can't even be mad about that.
I was going to say, like, you can't beat that. So good points. Good points on both sides. It's tough to say one way or the other, but you guys both made your points very, very well. All right, last one. We've got John. We've got Jordan. Fight. So this is, and I mentioned this earlier, you know, Packers are 5-5, and this is John, this could get fun for you, John.
Yeah, I could be a legit two-face right here. This is gonna so awesome.
I am so excited about this. Okay, so I almost want to rig it, but I'm not going to because I respect the integrity of the game too much. So Packers are 5-5. Season ended today, they're out of the wild card, but they're still in the hunt. So, John and Jordan, the question I'm posing to you, do the Packers, sitting 5-5, even after what we just saw this past week, do they still have a shot at the wild card? So, John, I'm going to flip this. If it's heads, they still have a shot at the wild card. If it's tails, they do not. John, it's tails, so you don't get to be a two-face. They do not have a shot at the wild card.
Reference coin toss question one. And let me insert a few more facts about why not. All right. There are many teams. The NFC has kind of been a wide open picture as of late. There's been a few teams that have separated themselves and established themselves as the cream of the crop in the Eagles and the Saints. And you could probably even throw in the Panthers. They've been relatively consistent for the most part. And I mean, the Panthers or the Saints, that's easily one wild card team. And we're pretty much now competing against, you know, both two of our division foes in the Vikings and the Lions. And currently, I do think that the Lions are probably a better team than the Green Bay Packers are. I mean, throw the Seahawks into the equation as well. I mean, you got some really good teams vying for that last wild card spot. And I mean, just on paper, talent wise, the Packers just don't have what it takes to compete with these teams that are ahead of us. I mean, obviously, we are talking a completely different picture if Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback. But it's just that's not the case. And no one on this team has really shown that they can take this team to that next level and, you know, present themselves as a legit playoff option so far.
Jordan, they got a shot.
The nice thing about where the Packers are at in terms of the wild card teams that they're in challenge with right now, current wild card position, you have Carolina Panthers at 5, Seattle Seahawks at 6, Detroit at 7, Atlanta at 8, Dallas at 10. Then you have the Redskins down at 4-6 and a couple other teams. What's nice right now is you look at the Seahawks and you look at the Cowboys, we have the tiebreaker with them. We play the Lions one more time. We can get to a point where we actually can get a division tiebreaker. Some things have to fall our way, but we can do it. And we play the Carolina Panthers coming up. We can get the tiebreaker with them. So even though the Carolina Panthers are 7-3, if for whatever reason we're able to steal one against Pittsburgh, get us into a position where we're one game behind them going into Carolina, we can win that game. And then if we're tied with them, we would have the tiebreaker with them. So in terms of the teams they're going up against, we have a chance of having the tiebreaker in the majority of the matchups. Now, this is all assuming that the Packers can, you know, get their crap together and actually play some meaningful football. But in terms of the math of it, it's feasible that the Packers can sneak into the sixth spot with even, honestly, with the way it's going, even a 9-7 record. While we're recording this right now, we got the Falcons playing the Seahawks. So I guess in this case, we'd be rooting for Seattle to win because we have the tiebreaker with them and we don't with Atlanta. But a lot of things are going to have to fall our way. We're going to have to start winning some games. We have some winnable games. The one we played yesterday, that was a winnable game, and we laid an egg. So if this team's able to get it together, we still play the Browns. Panthers have been good this season, but they've had their moments. I mean, they've lost by 2 touchdowns to Chicago. So you don't know what you're going to get with them. So the NFC is unpredictable. If the Packers, for whatever reason, can get it together, there's a shot they can sneak into the sixth seed.
Man, this is tough. This is tough. I'm having a difficult time. I don't like Jordan saying that we need to cheer for the Seahawks, even if it's true. And so it's, I think that's hampering me a little bit as far as where I should go.
I don't like it either.
I'm not envious of your position right now, Dusty.
You know, I said I didn't like it.
Of Jordan having to make that argument.
I was going
to
say, I think I'm going to have to go with Jordan for making that argument and making that make sense that we actually have to cheer for Seattle. I mean, and you know, both, I say that that's fairly lighthearted, but I mean, you guys both did a good job, and that is tough. I mean, Seattle, just a huge, huge rival, huge, just a hatred between the two teams. And the fact that we have to cheer for them, and Jordan said that, and I didn't actually like throw up in my mouth. That was well done. So, Jordan, I think you actually won this one.
Jordan, right. This one.
Hey, good job. You know, good job, buddy.
The same garbage every freaking week. Wow, what great arguments by both sides of the coin, but John, you just weren't good enough again, buddy.
I have some advice for you.
Come back next
somebody
week.
That has won more coin tosses than you have.
I don't know if you have.
Make better arguments and do a better
job. That's just not the case. That's just not the case. That's just not the case. You know, I'm just so sick of hearing like that little pat on the back speech, like, oh, great job. But you know what? Secretly, deep down inside, we hate you. And
to be fair, I never try to make the loser feel better than the winner.
That's fair.
Like,
yeah.
I'm all about just like, you made a bad argument and you should feel bad. And that's kind of the way I do it.
Yeah, I sort of do feel bad, but what I don't feel bad about is our next segment that we have coming up, and that's Brian's awesome interviews that he does with the guests, which yeah. They're always great. And this week we have a Steeler Nation fan coming in to talk chit chat with Brian. His name is Jeff Hartman. He's from Behind the Steel Curtain, SB Nation blog. Check it out, guys. Back to the Future is brought to you by Handmade by Heroes, officially licensed NFL, NBA, NCAA, MLB, and NHL products, as well as golf, medical, and U.S. military branch accessories. You can even have your own design, custom made, all handmade by U.S. military veterans. Paracord bracelets, keychains, lanyards, and more. Each handmade by a hero. Visit them online at handmadebyheroes.com. Use promo code PACK for free shipping on your next order. Handmade by Heroes, empowering our nation's veterans.
All right, guys, I'm here with Jeff Hartman of Behind the Steel Curtain. Jeff, how's it going?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really appreciate you coming on. We have a lot to talk about. None that a Packer fan currently wants to talk about. I'm feeling pretty nervous after the way the Packers performed this week, but let's get through it. I want to start a question that's been on my mind. Ben Roethlisberger, there's been rumors for the past couple off seasons about him potentially hanging up his boots. So I guess just how much longer do you think you're going to see Roethlisberger under center in Pittsburgh?
You know, I don't know. That's a really tough question. That's a question that a lot of people have asked me. It's a lot of people that everyone's been asked that covers the Steelers, and no one really knows the answer. Roethlisberger, it was really after the CTE report came out last year that was when he really started to see, holy, you know, you're looking at the hits that he's taken and what might be in his future. He has a young family. And he talked about how he and his wife talked about his future and whether he should play or not. From what you gather, it's that his wife kind of wants him to stop. But I think Roethlisberger still has proven he can play. He hasn't had the best season of his career, but he's still capable. I mean, he proved that week 11. Against the Tennessee Titans, and he had a good game, threw for four touchdowns. So I think, and this is just pure speculation, that Roethlisberger will at least be back for 2018. The team is just there. I mean, if he's looking to win, even if they win or don't win this year, it's regardless. But if he's looking to have a legitimate shot at a Super Bowl, this team's still going to be intact. His whole offensive line would still be under contract next year. The defense is young, and they're getting better. They're a top five defense right now. His playmakers and Le'Veon Bell, they can franchise tag him again. Martavis Bryant will be back under contract. Antonio Brown will be back. Juju Smith-Schuster will be in his second year. This team is going to be loaded again for 2018. Mm-hmm. So I think that will certainly have an impact on his decision-making. especially let's say they do win the Super Bowl this year, I think that I don't see him pulling a John Elway and riding off into the sunset necessarily, but I wouldn't be shocked if he did either. So no one really knows, but my guess is that he'll play next year.
All right. I mean, if he does retire, we can always trade you Brett Hundley if you want him.
out of all the quarterbacks that might be available, I don't think he'd be very high on the Steelers list right now.
No, regrettably not. One more question about a specific player before we move on to more offensive defensive units. I saw a tweet, I don't remember who it was from, but saying something to the effect of Antonio Brown being a better wide receiver than Randy Moss or Terrell Owens. Where would you land on that conversation?
Well, you know, it's tough because I think you look at, if you're just talking about those two, comparing him to those two receivers, it's very difficult. They're different receivers. Those two were, Randy Moss was probably the biggest freak that's ever been in the National Football League in terms of size, speed, jumping ability, and all that. It's tough to compare Brown, who's not as tall, who's not as fast, but is probably a better route runner, probably has equal in terms of hands and catching the football, is probably equal there. Terrell Owens was another big, strong guy that was going to out-muscle the competition, made those tough catches. I mean, Brown is just kind of like a unique beast. But in terms of comparing him to the greatest of all time, I mean, he's putting together a five-year stretch that is unparalleled. And that includes Jerry Rice. Excuse me, that includes Tim Brown. That includes any other receiver you can think of. I mean, he's going to be having his fifth season with 100 receptions a year. He's going to be well over 1,000 yards. It's just, honestly, I've been watching this player, this guy, his whole career. And you always say to yourself, how can he get better? And yet every year he gets better. It's just tremendous. He's a phenomenal football player. It's hard to believe he was a sixth-round draft pick out of Central Michigan. But in terms of Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, I put him above Owens, but not above Moss. Not yet. Moss was just incredible. And I'm from West Virginia, actually, so I grew up watching Randy Moss at Marshall a lot. Mm-hmm. And what that guy can do on a football field was, in my opinion, second to none. So that's where I would rank him amongst those three.
Well, he's better than the Randy Moss we saw with the Tennessee Titans. We can definitely say that, right?
Yeah. I mean, Moss in his prime, I'm talking Minnesota Vikings, Moss was just, or even the year that he went off again with New England. I mean,
yeah,
you just can't guard him. You just could not guard him. And Brown's been taking that out of games. Moss is very rare that happens. That's why I put Moss out of him.
All right. Let's move on to that entire offensive unit that you got in Pittsburgh. You got a lot of weapons. The Packers have a defense that's been inconsistent at best. Seeing what they were able to do against the Ravens, does that give you any pause, or are you just straight up expecting like 60 points to be dropped by the Steelers on Sunday?
No, the Steelers have only broken the 30-point plateau once, now last week.
All right.
So they've struggled. They have not been the high-flying offense that everyone expected. I think the second half of the Titans game was kind of what everyone was expecting coming into the game, coming into the season, I should say. But they've really underperformed. It almost seems like they were kind of outthinking themselves at times. The play calling has been suspect. Execution has been horrible at times. They just haven't been on their details very well. And everyone, the players, the coaches are all talking like they're hoping that this Thursday night game where they put up 40 against a pretty good Titans defense could be kind of a catalyst for this offense to kind of get them over the hump, to get them going. If that's the case, the one thing you'll notice is that they can be a pick-your-poison offense, and it's something they haven't been doing up until week 11. And if you want to sell out to stop Le'Veon Bell in the running game, then you're going to leave yourself vulnerable against the passing attack of Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Martavis Bryant, and so on. Jesse James is a tight end. Vance McDonald's healthy. He's another player to watch. If you want to drop two safeties deep so that you're not going to get beat over the top, well, then you can expect the team to run the football because they've had great success doing that. Le'Veon Bell lead the league in rushing. So I really think that the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they're firing on all cylinders, are a very difficult offense to stop for anyone. I'm really anxious to see the Clay Matthews injury. I know he left the game with a groin injury on Sunday. Haven't heard too much, but he's a difference maker. I've definitely watched him coming off the edge, and especially with the fact that, I don't know if you all heard this, but Marcus Gilbert, the Steelers starting right tackle was just suspended for 4 games for violating the PED policy, so he won't be in the lineup. Okay. So that could be a possible weak spot. So I'm definitely looking at the edge defenders for the Packers and seeing what they have. But I like the Steelers' offense against them as any defense if they're playing up to their capabilities. The big question has been, but I guess I should say the statement has been, that's a huge if. It only happened one time this year, so we'll see. But Pittsburgh is a team that can beat you in a multitude of ways. So we'll see. The health of the team will matter. And, you know, obviously whether they can kind of impose their will on the Packers, we'll see.
All right. How about defensively? I know the Steelers' defense isn't what it was, you know, looking back to 2010 when the Packers and Steelers met in the Super Bowl and had two of the best defenses in the league. But I still look at it as a pretty decent unit. Seeing what the Ravens just did, holding us to 0 points, what are the odds that you hold us to, like, negative points?
Well, you know, I'll say this about the Steelers defense first. That 2010 defense, you could definitely see the writing on the wall that was kind of like the last hurrah. After that Super Bowl, you definitely knew that the players like James Ferrier and Casey Hampton and Troy Polamalu and these Brett Keisel, these great players that have been great for so long, weren't what they used to be, and they were losing it. And the Steelers, it took them a long time to kind of restock the shelves, but they finally have. Now, this is a top five defense right now in the NFL. They're second in sacks. What's impressed me the most is that the Steelers, and I saw this statistic earlier in the season, probably about 2 weeks ago, they are one of the teams that does not blitz the least. They blitz the least. So they're the bottom five teams in terms of percentage of blitzing the opposing quarterback, yet they are getting pressure the most whenever they do blitz. So they're a team that is getting to the quarterback without having to send extra players in terms of blitzes and exotics, the stuff that used to be known with the Steelers in terms of Dick LeBeau's 3-4 zone blitzing scheme. They're not having to do that. Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt are tremendous. Javon Hargrave on the defensive line. I haven't been able to dig in too deep yet into the Packers' offensive line. I know they have an injury. They had an injury there last Sunday. But I haven't been able to look too much about like the sacks they're stringing. I know Hundley is holding on to the football a long time, and that's not going to be a recipe for success against the Pittsburgh pass rush that has the second most sacks in the NFL entering week 12. I like the Steelers defense a lot. I think Mike Mitchell, who missed last game with an ankle, should be back as a safety. Joe Hayden will be out with a broken broken fibula. But Cody Sensabaugh filled in well for him last week. He had an interception. They had 4 interceptions of Marcus Mariota. So this defense is a lot better than people give them credit for. And I think that each week, as people wait for the pass defense to break down or they wait for the running defense to get gashed again, they just keep on doing their job and they keep on making plays. They haven't surrendered more than 20 points since week 5. So a really good defensive unit. I like their matchup against Hundley in that Packers offense.
Yeah, with good reason. All right. Having said all that, how do you see Sunday night going down, and can you give us a final score prediction?
Yeah. Steeler fans right now are paranoid, just to give you all an idea, because they know that the Steelers typically against subpar, and I hate to say call the Packers subpar, but they're a 500 football team. And
they're
they
subpar
know that
right
the Steelers,
now. It's okay.
There's, yes. I didn't want to say that on your show, but
okay.
The Steelers, you know, playing against subpar competition oftentimes will allow a team to hang around, and sometimes they'll lose those games. Look at the week 3 loss to the Bears, although it was on the road. Even when in Indianapolis in week 10 coming off a bye, they had a last second field goal to win the game. Mm-hmm. Ben Roethlisberger at home on primetime is almost unstoppable. He just, for some reason, plays great under the bright lights, and he typically has performances more like you saw last week with 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, than he does anything else. I just think that this Pittsburgh Steelers defense and the Steelers offense are just starting to kind of get things figured out, because the scariest part has been they're pretty good right now. They're 8-2. That's really good in the AFC. It's tied for the best record, but they still have a ton of places where they can improve. Their third down offense is bad. Their red zone offense is bad. If they can just improve on those things, my goodness, they're going to be a tough team to beat. I like the Steelers in this game, and I'm going to go with the final score of 34-17. I think that they'll double up the Packers. I think the Packers might keep it close. I don't think Humley's going to play as bad as he did last week. for two straight weeks, but I like the Steelers to definitely pull away in the second half of the game.
Man, you mentioned two things that you struggle with, being red zone offense and third down offense. Well, that's where the Packers defense is just at its absolute worst. So this game coming up might just be therapy, like going to the chiropractor for your offense. I mean, for all the reasons you just mentioned and many more, I don't see this even being a particularly close game, unfortunately. We weren't able to move the ball against the Ravens defense, and man, we just give up on the run. Hundley, as you said, he hangs on to that ball, and he is unwilling or unable or whatever it is to step up into the pocket to avoid pressure. He runs to the outside, and when things aren't there, he'll just throw it away or he'll take a sack. And it just, we haven't seen the progression in that key element thus far. That offense just scares me right now. I know you said they've only eclipsed 30 points, what, twice this year. I definitely see them doing that this week, though. Like you said, we may or may not be without Clay Matthews. We'll probably be without Kenny Clark, who has been probably our best defensive lineman. And even if we have him, he's going to be at, I don't know, 80% at best. So whereas before we didn't have to sell out to stop the run on certain weeks, this time without Kenny Clark, we would absolutely have to sell out and just stuff the box with a whole bunch of linebackers and safeties. And yeah, that's going to open things up for the multiple deep threats that you guys have. And you know, we have injuries in the secondary too. Morgan Burnett hasn't been there, and Kevin King, who's been our best cornerback as a rookie, he's got a shoulder injury. So if he's there, he's not going to be 100%. I just don't see this going particularly well. I'm going to say it's going to be like 38-13 or something like that in favor of the Steelers this time.
I like that too. That sounds good to me.
I'm sure it does. My only consolation, I'm going to be back in Wisconsin. I'm going to be hanging out with family, drinking beers, just in a state of relaxation where I don't have to take this game all too seriously. That's my consolation at this point.
Well, it was kind of surprising that they kept this game in prime time for me. I thought they would flex it out and put another game in there, but I think just because it's the Packers and Steelers, two franchises that are well known, but it should be interesting on prime time.
Yeah, and I think that's really it. This is two of the deepest fan bases in all of the NFL, so you know, maybe if it was only one or the other, they might have flexed it out, but you can't flex out of these two fan bases. No. I think there'd be an absolute uproar, just given how spread out these fan bases are across the United States. Every city will have good ratings for this one, even with the Packers struggling. So, yeah, it was a little bit surprising, but it does make some sense. So, Jeff, I want to thank you again for joining us this week. Go ahead and take a minute, tell the good people what you do over at Behind the Steel Curtain and where they can find you on Twitter and all that good stuff.
Yeah, if you're a Packers fan and you want to know what's going on and on the other side of the fence for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you can check out behindthesteelcurtain.com. We have probably anywhere from 8 to 10 posts up a day, everything from statistic analysis to film room breakdowns to injury reports. So if you're curious as to what's going on with the Steelers leading up to the Sunday night game, check us out there on Twitter at BT Steel Curtain.
All right, Jeff, really good interview. Thanks again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we are back from one of the best interviews I've ever heard Brian do, to be honest. Very well done, Brian. I love your interviewing style. It's like Peter Jennings meets Lester Holt meets Barbara Walters meets John McLaughlin.
A little bit of Pert Hapley mixed in there. Just a shade
it's
of Pert.
Mostly Pert Hapley. Yeah. But, you know, little known fact is that I taught all of those people everything they know about broadcasting. Absolutely everything.
I'm going to ask you a question, and the question is this.
Oh, I should do all of the interviews in that style.
Do you guys ever, by the way, this is a very, 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 very big side note here, but do you guys ever watch the interviews of Graham Bessinger with these NFL players?
No.
Very, very solid interviews, by the way. So, shout out to Graham Bessinger, however you say his last name, it's fine, but he does really good interviews, and Jordan also does really good Three Keys to Victories. Jordan.
Really, keys, yes.
Please.
It's a key part of this.
The key is the keyest of parts to our show.
All right. Well, three keys to beating the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday. Here we go. We're gonna try it. First key to victory against the Steelers. And going back to this Ravens game, we need to win the field position battle, or at least perform better than we did. I believe at some point in the second half, they were saying the average starting field position for the Ravens was about their own 40 or 45 yard line, whereas we were starting about our own 20. That can't happen. We won't beat the Steelers if that happens. They are too good. They'll take advantage of that too much for us to be able to handle that. We need to win the field position battle, which means we need to be picking up at least some first downs. Needs to be a better day from Vogel. Didn't have a good day on Sunday. So that's my first key. And going along with that comes the second key of the game. Hundley cannot turn the ball over. He doesn't necessarily need to throw for four touchdowns, although it'd be nice. He cannot turn the ball over. Even one time might be enough to just swing the momentum of this entire game and just really put Pittsburgh on the fast track to victory in this game. So he can't turn the ball over. We have five turnovers in this game, a couple of them in garbage time. It can't happen. You cannot give Pittsburgh more chances on offense to put up points with how many weapons they have. And even if all of that stuff happens, guys, we're still going to need Roethlisberger to just have an off game. He went for four touchdowns and no interceptions against the Titans. Tore him to shreds, went to Antonio Brown for three scores. If we still have the same guys out, Kevin Kane out, it could be a big battle for us to keep him under even 24, 28 points. Whether the Packers can even get to that number, I'm not sure they can. They need Roethlisberger to throw a couple bad passes, and we need to take advantage of them, get some picks off them. And this goes back to the first game with winning the field position battle. Got to switch the field position, and if that happens with turnovers, then that's fantastic. Make it easier for Hundley. I mean, with Hundley starting at the 20-yard line with the way he's playing, no way. It's not going to happen. We're not going to put up enough points to beat the Steelers. We need to be giving him better field position. So comes down to defense, comes down to making plays. So those are my three keys to knocking off the Steelers this Sunday night in Pittsburgh.
And do you have a final score prediction, Jordan?
I do. Not optimistic about them coming out and putting up a lot of points. I don't believe they'll get shut out again. I still just can't imagine getting shut out twice in a row with as many people as we have on the offense, regardless of how poorly Hungley's playing. I feel like we're going to get some points. I don't think it'll be many. But right now I'm going to go Steelers 30, Packers 16.
All right. And Dusty, by the numbers.
Hey. Yeah, so and we all know that Roethlisberger the Steelers as a whole play better at home than away, and so I looked at that because this game is going to be in Pittsburgh, which actually I was going to talk about the cheapest ticket. I'm not now. You can get tickets to this game for $23, which is not bad. Like right now, that's the cheapest ticket I saw. I've been up to that Pittsburgh, the stadium in Pittsburgh, 09. Packers played up there. It was the Mike Wallace last second touchdown on the side of the field or in the corner of the end zone. I was up there for that game. Tremendous stadium. It's right there, the Three Rivers. It's overlooking there. Not a bad seat in the house. All that we were decked out in Packers gear. All the fans we met were tremendous. So it was kind of awesome.
I still think Cohen Jenkins was held on that touchdown.
Yeah, probably, but like Jared Bush was playing time, so I mean they were getting torched either way. Like they should not have won that game. But fun game. Yeah, so they play well at home. They're outscoring opponents by 8.5 points at home this year, and they just hung 40 on the Titans. And they put up 26 on the Vikings. They put up 29 on the Bengals. Like none of those teams are slouches when it comes defensively. So I mean They'll score points at home. They'll score points on the road as well, but they're going to score more points at home. So that's something to look out for there. Guys, we're going into week 12. We're going into week 12. Antonio Brown's already been targeted 119 times. 119 times. He's targeted on 32.5% of the Steelers' passing plays. The second on the team, you guys want to guess who the second most targeted player on the team is?
Juju.
Juju.
Le'Veon
Bell.
It's Le'Veon Bell. It's Le'Veon Bell with 64. Wow. Bell or Brown has 119. Bell has 64. I mean, we knew they were going to Brown. You know they're going to Brown. And we talked about the injuries earlier. I don't know if Kevin King's going to be out there. I don't know if Kevin King will make a difference. But you know they're going to go to Brown. They don't mask that. You just got to hope. You can't stop him. You just got to hope to slow him down. So that's got to be, I mean, if you're in that defensive room, you know, Kenny Clark injury hurts the run defense up front, but you got to watch out for Bell.
Dusty, play the part of Vegas odds maker for me. And I'm going to, like, set an over-under for how many targets Antonio Brown will get this week.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm not sure what the status on Kevin King is, but this defense, this has got to be, it's got to be a focal point for stopping him. And they got to stop the run game up front because Bell can kill him. But in the passing game on the back end, man, you got to do whatever it takes. And if Juju kills you, Juju kills you. If someone else kills you, they do. But you have to at least put some thought into stopping or slowing down Antonio Brown. I think Antonio Brown, let's say, I don't know, over under, we'll say 12 and a half targets. That seems possibly low. They're going to throw to him. They're going to throw to him a lot. And the Packers defense is going to have to account for that.
I was going to say it was probably going to be somewhere near that 119 number.
It could be.
Doubling his targets for the
year. I mean, honestly, would you be shocked if they targeted him 20 times? Like,
No.
I wouldn't.
Like, I'd be more shocked if they didn't.
Yeah. But, I mean, they've got other weapons. Like, that's the only reason. Like, he hasn't, like, they've got so many weapons. So, I don't know. You got to account for this. Now, I do want to say, look, man, there is some hope. I want to focus on. I want to be a little optimistic right now. Steelers, for as good as they are offensively and for as good as they have been this year, they only score touchdowns on 42.5% of trips in the red zone, which is 31st in the league. Now, I've talked about this before. The Packers' defense are bad in the red zone. Right now, they're 29th in the league, giving up touchdowns on 65% of their opponent's drives. But actually, for the past three games, which granted, they played some pretty bad teams in terms of red zone scoring, they've only given up touchdowns on 42.9% of trips over the last three games. So that's a huge key for me, that the Steelers are going to drive. The Steelers are going to move the ball. We know they're going to. But when they get in the red zone, if the Packers can hold them to field goals, which happens quite often with the Steelers team, that keeps the Packers in the game. That's huge. If they can hold them out of the red zone, or hold them in the end zone when they get to the red zone, that's going to be huge going into this game. So that's the big thing for me. And the last thing I want to say is the middle of the field, the Packers always get killed in the middle of the field. Always get killed in the middle. And this, I'm going to go back for a second. We're going to talk about this Ravens game because I looked at the stats for the Ravens game. Joe Flacco, when throwing to the middle of the field within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, he is 15 for 16 for 138 yards. They went to the middle on 55% of plays and completed like 94% of their passes. That absolutely cannot happen. That absolutely cannot happen, and absolutely will, because Capers does not know how to defend the middle of the field. And it's like even just middle, you think middle of the field, like, that's not just slants, man. That's like Le'Veon Bell running a hook out of the middle. Like, that's, they're going to have to lock that down. They can't continue to get killed there. So with all that being said, listen, I'm doing my score prediction. You guys gave me heat for this before we started recording. I'm going Packers. I'm going Packers 24-21. Now, I don't know that I've ever picked against the Packers. I may have to start, and this may be my last game. We'll see how it goes. But the Packers seem to have, or they have had in the past, the coaches step up when they need to. When it seems most dire, when you go in, they're a 14-point underdog going into this game. I can't remember the last time the Packers were 14-point underdog. I go back to 2010, going into Foxborough, and Packers almost winning that game. I think about 2013 with Flynn going into Dallas and tying that game. There's something about them that I think they come up big when they feel that they are the longest of shots. And Steelers could beat them by 45. But I just have to believe, at least for one more week, that the coaching staff will see this as an affront, as just being insulted, and they got to show, as McCarthy said back in 2010, they're nobody's underdogs. You're a 14-point underdog. I got to believe they're working up something, man. They're working with Hundley. They're working with the offense. They're working something. So if it fails here, you know, we'll see what happens. But for now, at least one last one, Packers 24-21.
Dusty, like I prefaced in the intro to this episode, you had me sold so hard on me. I also have never picked against the Packers on this podcast. And, unfortunately, unfortunately, today is that day that I do that. The Packers are facing a top five defense in pretty much every single statistical category a defense has in the NFL: points per game, rushing yards a game, and passing yards a game. And you're going on the road against one of the best teams in the AFC, and it's gonna be a rough go at it. I am looking for the Packers to have some improvement on the offensive side of the ball, even regardless going up against a top defense in the NFL. But I do think that the Packers do lose this game, and the final score is going to be 27-17. So it's going to be a little bit more respectable, but unfortunately, the Packers come out on the losing end, and I do not like saying that at all. But it happened. So there it is. Gentlemen, it is now time for our final thoughts. Brian Fonfara, entertain us.
All right, look, I'll try. I don't have a lot this week. Dusty, I really envy your optimism. I really do. I just can't see the game going down that way. I don't think we're good enough on either side of the ball right now. And
that's fine. Like I said, I wouldn't be shocked either way. It's just want to believe.
And as Jeff said in the interview, there's something about Ben Roethlisberger at home in prime time where he just tears it up, and I can't see it going any differently. My only other final thought for this week is I'm crazy excited. Tomorrow night I'm boarding a flight, going back home to Wisconsin for a week. Gonna get Thanksgiving with both families, mine and my wife's. Might even get to see John's face again, which would be great. John gives really good hugs, so I'm really looking forward to that.
The best.
Can confirm.
I'm looking forward to just way too much Thanksgiving food and tons of dessert, man, hitting up some of my old haunts. I'm crazy excited. So everybody listening at home, I'll see you soon.
You're always welcome back.
Thank you. And I'll be there. Then the only other thing, make sure you're checking out packtothefuture.com. We've got four other podcasts on our network. We've got articles coming out pretty much every day. So make sure you're checking that out. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. You can find our podcast at @PTTF_podcast.
And Dusty, your final thoughts this evening.
So I've got three. So I always look at cheapest tickets. Man, so I talked last week about how we'd worked so hard to finally get to the single-digit ticket price. We'd flirted with it a couple times. It was like $11 tickets, $10 tickets. We finally broke that barrier. We finally broke it last week. And the good times keep rolling this week, boys. We got three games under $10. Three games under $10. And we got a bunch of other cheaper ones. Like I said, that Packers-Steelers game is $23 right now. But the cheapest one you could go to, which, I don't know, could be really boring, could be a lot of fun, Tennessee at Indianapolis. You can go to that game, not as cheap as last week's game, which last week's was Jacksonville at Cleveland. $6. For $6... You
for a division rivalry where either team could make the playoffs?
Yeah, well, in Indy, I mean, I don't know if you guys have been to Indy. Indy's a nice town. That stadium's super nice. There's a ton of cool stuff to do around the stadium. Everyone's nice. The tailgate scene is actually pretty cool. It's not a bad place to take in a game. So for $6, you can go see him. And I love a big Mariota guy. I've talked about this before. My number one college team is Florida, but I also grew up rooting for Oregon, so I'm a big Mariota guy. Tennessee runs some good things on offense. I like to see Indianapolis.
He's no Joey Harrington.
He's no Joey Harrington. That is correct, Brian. That he's no Joey Harrington. He's no Tim Couch. I'll tell you that right now, guys.
True that.
But Tennessee does interesting stuff on offense, and Indy is bad, but Brissett's kind of cool. So I mean, it could be a fun game, and it's $6. My second thought, I'll go spooky movie. No, it's not spooky. It's a horror comedy. It's on Netflix right now. It's called The Babysitter. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's this kid, has this super hot, leggy, blonde babysitter and stays up late one night. He's like a 12-year-old kid, stays up late one night to see what her and her boyfriend get into. And it turns out they're part of a satanic cult that sacrifices a guy in the living room. And then just everything just breaks loose. And they try to get him, and they're trying to get his blood, and he gets chased by a shirtless high school quarterback that whole scene just absolutely killed me. It's big dumb fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Listen, man, it's not Citizen Kane. It's a good time. If you get a chance, check it out. Babysitter on Netflix. My last one, I mentioned this I think last week, but I had a story picked up for a book, called Dreams of Desolation was the name of the book. I got another one picked up for a Christmas horror anthology. I wrote it in the past couple weeks, submitted it, got it picked up. So I think, I don't know when that's coming out, but it'll be before Christmas. And I'm super stoked about it. I liked my first one. The first story I wrote was kind of fun. I'd never really dabbled in short fiction before, but this one I'm super, super hyped about. So I don't know when that's going to be out, and I don't have a title for it, which I probably should come up with a title for it. But yeah, kind of excited. I'm not really making, I'm getting $0 from any of this, but there's something about seeing your name on the front of a book. I'm pretty, pretty excited about it. So yeah, those are my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely, and I got post film gifts over at All 22 Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, the famous Dusty Evely. We are blessed to have you as part of our podcast. You are so much closer to winning a Pulitzer, and we are rooting for you.
Thanks.
Hard. Jordan, your final thoughts.
I got a few final thoughts tonight. First final thought, John alluded to it earlier, but hashtag save the crew. Second final thought, if you want to talk about a good football team in the state of Wisconsin, you got to talk about my Wisconsin Badgers.
Hey-o.
One win away from an undefeated regular season. In a matchup against Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. Guys, I have not been this excited about a Badgers team in a long while. This is the best start in school history. It's just the fact that we're in the playoff race, considering our quarterback is Alex Hornibrook, is amazing. It's just fun. It's just fun right now. Just kind of watching all the other games. It's college football is. I'll be completely honest. I've been watching a lot more college football this year than NFL football. Some of it has to do with the way the Packers have been playing, but it's been fun. Just having a team, possibly even playing. Just the thought of the Badgers playing for a national championship is exciting to me and every other Badger fan. So that's my second final thought. Third final thought, kind of echoing Brian. Excited about Thanksgiving, driving up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, with my brother's in-laws hosting me. So very excited about that. Making some Watergate salad. You guys ever had Watergate salad before?
I don't know what I'm talking about. I've never heard of it. I don't like to talk politics on this show.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You don't. You say that till we're up there. But
no, not cool.
No, it's a nice dessert. Marshmallows, whipped cream, pistachio pudding mix. It doesn't sound good when I'm saying those ingredients, but if you mix it up together, nice green dessert, fantastic.
I've had that before. That's really good.
Yeah, I didn't know that's what that was called.
It's extremely good. It's extremely good. Now, this is the thing. So, John, you've had this before.
Yes.
So, I made it last year for the first time. It's the first time I've made it. I've had it many years growing up for holiday meals, Thanksgiving meals. And, you know, part of the ingredient for the thing is a pack of instant pistachio pudding mix, right?
Yes.
So without thinking twice, I just decide to make the pudding. You know, I follow the instructions to make the pudding. I mix it all together, and I'm like, this is not what Watergate looks like. I taste it, and it's fine. So I'm like, all right, I'll take it up there. It was fine. People ate it. It was tasty. It was sugary sweet. It was fine. But it turns out you just put the pudding mix, just the, like the powder, into the thing. That's what they make the pudding. I'm like, why would I think to do that? Why would anybody think to do this? So I learned my lesson. So when I make the Watergate tomorrow night in preparation for the meal on Thursday, it's going to be perfect. Can't wait. I'm very excited.
Don't you watch any Guy Fieri, Jordan? Come on.
I don't like Guy Fieri.
Yeah, if anyone will like Guy Fieri, it's you.
No, give me Chopped all day. You guys know this.
Yeah,
I'll watch hours of Chopped, one episode right after the other. So
we do know this about you. It's a fun fact about Jordan.
Never make an ice cream in the final round.
That's true.
If you guys want to follow me and my live tweet of Chopped episodes, Jordan, you guys can follow me at JGPeck41 on the Twitter, and I believe it's the same handle for Snapchat. If you guys want to add me on Snapchat,
do it. It's a great follow. It's a great follow.
Snapchat
do it.
Sucks.
Anyways, guys, I have one final thought, and I love to stay relevant with Wisconsin sports. Obviously, Jordan just mentioned our great Badgers that are having the best year that they've had in school history. But I'm not talking about that team. I'm talking about the team that has the most secure front office in the state, and that is the Milwaukee Brewers. And in David Stearns, I trust. And then I hear a rumor today saying that the Brewers are interested in Jake Arrieta. And gentlemen, how do you feel about Jake Arrieta coming to Milwaukee? Possibly.
Depends on the number, man. He's not what he was a couple years ago.
Let me
so
preface.
If they're going to go shell out $25 million for him.
Let me preface by saying that he has 1 year left on his deal, and he's going to get paid $16.5 million. So
I'm into that for 1 year. Give it a shot.
You know, we would be giving up probably some of our top prospects to get a potential loanee for a year. That's
can't go too high on the prospects, but.
And that's
worth a shot.
That's kind of where I'm at with this. So, Jordan, do you have any input on Jake Arrieta possibly coming to Milwaukee?
I'm all about adding some depth to the rotation. Obviously, the dollars come into it, but it's nice to see the Brewers even in the market for making a splash like that. That's right. Exciting for the team.
Yes, that's exactly how I view it. Is just excitement that this team is just the rebuilding process. Is seeming to work right now, and I think I just love seeing this type of rumors, and that the Brewers are aggressively searching to make their team better always. And like I said, I think David Stearns is the best general manager that we have in this state, and the guy has so far done nothing to prove us wrong in saying that. So I'm interested to see what he does this offseason, and so far he's made some really, really, really good moves. Chase Anderson signed one of the best team-friendly contracts I've seen in years, and I'm always excited about the sports that this state offers and the teams that we cheer for. And I mean, obviously the numero uno team is the Green Bay Packers. We are looking forward to hopefully what will be called one of the best wins in recent memory. If the Packers can go into Pittsburgh and knock the Steelers off their high horse right now, that might be one of my favorite wins of all time. So Packers, get your stuff together. Let's rally around each other like we did against the Bears, and just come at this team with everything we got. Don't leave anything on the table. Let's produce and move the chains, score some points, play some solid D, and let's get the win. Let's get ourselves some more confidence going forward, and who knows what's going to happen. But guys, stay faithful, stay true, stay loyal. We are Packer Nation. Never give up. Never surrender. Buzz Lightyear. We are packed to the future. Tune in every single week. Follow our writers. Follow the website. Buy some stuff from Handmade by Heroes. You know what it is. We are packed to the future. We are packed to the future. Go Pack Go. We are packed to the future. Go Pack Go.